Let's come back to Romans chapter 5 to verse 12. I'll read verse 12 to the end. My text is going to be mainly verse 12. And I'm going to answer a question that's published in the bulletin as the sermon theme or title. And I'm going to have to take this step by step in order to answer it biblically and correctly. But let's first hear from God's word. From Romans chapter 5, beginning verse 12, reading to the end of the chapter, verse 21. Hear now, dear people of God, his faithful word, his precious word. Beginning chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So ends the reading of his holy word. Bless it to our hearts, Lord, we pray, as we ponder afresh from this passage the truth that thou art teaching here. Inscribe it upon our hearts, Lord. We ask in your name. Amen. Well, as I said, I published this question that comes from verse 12. Actually, it comes from the whole thing. Verse 12, which introduces it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, the first thing that we need to notice here is that everyone dies. Right? All men die, all men and women, boys and girls, they die eventually. We all do. And because of sin. Well, how do we explain this? How do we answer the question, why is everybody gonna die? Why must they? And so I want to begin to answer the question tonight in five ways. I want to point out the significant fact, first of all, begin there. And then I want to address the question, well, how did we all sin? You know, it's talking about Adam here and how we all sinned in Adam. Well, how'd that happen? How do we explain that? And then the third point is a philosophical kind of theological answer that philosophers give that is to be rejected. Just want to address that briefly. And then the fourth place, I want to talk about inherited pollution,
which is true, but that's not the reason. That's not the reason why all have died, that all must die.
And then finally, I'm going to give you the answer in the fifth. So we have to take this step by step, and I pray and ask you to pray that I'm clear, because one thing leads to the other before we get to the answer.
It's an answer you've heard, but you may not think of
as clearly, especially from this passage. The first thing I want to point out, is a significant fact. And the fact is that death is punishment, right? Death is a punishment for sin.
That is clear from this passage. It's also clear at the very beginning when God created the man and the woman, he said, you can eat from all the trees of the garden, right? And live. You can eat from the tree of life and live, but not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And Eve and Adam ate from that tree, and die they did. And so death was the punishment because of their sinful rebellion, their pride, their lust.
All started back then. And so we can understand that people die because of sin, right? And death is the punishment for sin.
Man was not created to die. He was created to live in paradise, to live in a garden paradise, and to eat from the tree of life. One stipulation, one command, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For then you will die. You won't die. You won't ever die if you eat from all the rest of the stuff. But from this one, you will. And so death is the punishment for sin. That's a fact, a biblical fact. That's not something that people in this world will accept. Philosophers or educators or the high and mighty amongst us. But that's what the Bible says. Death is punishment for sin. And according to our reading here in Romans chapter 5, all have sinned. Beginning with Adam and Eve, all have sinned.
So we want to understand that fact first. Also, attached to that is guilt, right? You must be guilty, and then you're punished. We know that from court. We know that from legal things. If a person is guilty, he is punished.
So we see how Adam and Eve are guilty. But we're told here that every one of us is also guilty. Every one of us dies. Therefore, we're being punished. Therefore, we're guilty of sin. When did we sin? When did we become guilty?
And the answer may be a little startling to you, although you have to think about it. It says here that we all sinned in Adam. Right? All of us have sinned in Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all, for all have sinned.
He's talking about Adam. How is it that all of us sinned at that time?
And this brings us to say, it must be that we all sinned before we were born. You get that? Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us is guilty. Before we're born, we're all guilty. According to the Bible, according to the teaching of Scripture. Well, wow, that takes you back. Wait a minute. Really? Is that what we're being taught here? Yes, all have sinned. Death passed on to all, for all sinned. But we're not all there. We're not all around. How's that possible? It must be before we were born. We're all guilty.
I think it's pretty clear that that's being taught.
So we got through these 2 points rather quickly, right? The significant fact is that death is a punishment for sin. In order to be punished, we have to be found guilty. In order to be guilty in Adam, it must be before we were born, because we weren't around back then.
So, brings us now to a third thing, and that is, we want to reject certain explanations of sin. Now, to many people, philosophers and educators, to many down through the ages, sin to them, in order to bring an understanding about sin, they think sin is in the deed. Okay, it's something you did, something you do, something you say. It's in the deed itself. And many people think, and you see this on television all the time, in movies, on television shows, when you watch them, it almost invariably comes out in one way or another that we have a choice, right? We shape our own destiny. We are free to choose good or evil. That is up to us. That kind of philosophy has penetrated the popular culture so that everybody believes it. And even Christians do. And that's because man considers himself, and perhaps you've heard this too, maybe even you've said it, man is basically good. Now, how's that possible? Man is basically good. If that's true, that man is basically good, that means that he is born good. That he's able to decide for himself to choose good or to choose evil. Now, in most cases, or maybe in every case, they would admit, he chooses evil. But he could choose good. He could choose to do good every single day of his life and not be evil at all. No one does that. But it's possible, right? Because man is born according to Pelagianism, according to humanism, you know, and we don't have to get confused about all the isms here and all the teachings, but basically, as the philosopher, I believe it was Locke, who said that a person is born with a tabula rasa, a blank slate, and upon that slate you can write anything. So everybody's born with this tabula rasa, this blank slate, and it's written upon good things or bad things. And so man is basically good. He's born able to choose good or evil. He's born with a blank slate, a tabula rasa, a blank slate, upon which to write. And so what is corrupting man? What's corrupting man is are the bad examples that are set before him. Like the child is given a bad example, right? His parents are bad examples to him, and that's why that child is terrible. And there is some truth to that. It's the child's environment that makes him bad or makes him good. And so if we give them children, our children, a good environment, we raise them right, we educate them well, we lift them up, then they're going to be good. Well, how's that working out? What you get now, the environment that these so-called wizards of smart have developed is an environment of promiscuity, of sexual perversion, of homosexuality, of transgenderism now, of abortion on demand, of racism, of hatred. You know, yeah. That's the environment that man creates, and no matter how much he educates himself and his children, that's what you get. Hatred, jealousies, envies, all kinds of strifes, divisions, partisanism, whatever it is. This is the perfect world that man is creating. Besides, it's against the scriptures. So we don't want to think that sin is just in the deed, that everybody born is born a tabula rasa upon which a blank slate upon which you can write anything, that the character of a person is developed by his environment or by the bad examples that are set before his eyes. And that explains the reason for sin and death that's in the world, the punishment of death, because man gives bad example. Man is raised in a bad environment. So the reason why all of us are so bad is because Adam gave a bad example to his sons and to his daughters, and it passed on from generation to generation. Well, we want to say that is not what's being taught here in the scripture, in Romans chapter 5. It's not taught anywhere in the scripture that's the reason. Adam sinned. And in Adam, in the one man, death by sin passed into the world and onto everyone, for all have sinned in Adam. Before we were born, we were guilty of sinning in Adam. This brings us to the fourth thing I wanted to talk about, and that has to do with a true thing. This is true, that we inherit a nature from Adam and from Eve, right? That once Adam and Eve fell, they became corrupted. Now, can anything pure come from that which is corrupt? Job asked that question, Job 14, verse 4, a rhetorical question. Can that which is impure produce a pure thing? And that's no. It's an obvious question with an answer. No, of course not. We come from a corrupt stock. And therefore, all of us are corrupt. It's called the doctrine of inherited pollution. We are all sinners because Adam sinned. We inherit a sinful nature. We inherit a corrupt nature. The psalmist says in Psalm 51 that he was conceived in sin. From conception, I'm in sin. Now that sounds like a reasonable understanding of what's being said here. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all sinned. But that's not the answer. It's true that we inherit a corrupt nature. It's true that we have been created as an organism. Adam and Eve were created an organism, so that we were all in the loins of Adam, as they say, or as Eve. We were all in their loins. So we're created a whole, if you will, an organism that grows and expands. But it all expands from the same source. And that source became corrupt the day he fell. And so all the expansion coming out of Adam and Eve is also corrupt. Doesn't that make sense? That's really not what the argument is here. If you read this carefully, and I really don't have time to get into each and every detail of the verse, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Okay, there it is. The figure, the type of the one who is to come, of course, referring to Jesus Christ. But you see, we're guilty of sin, even though we didn't sin in the same way that Adam sinned. Some say because we have a corrupt nature. But the problem with that is that the corruption that we have, our fallen nature, our depravity, our total depravity, that is part of the punishment. That is death. And so that is not the reason here why we all die because of sin, because we're guilty of sin. What I'm saying, what has been said, is that, look, we have a depraved nature from which all sin comes. But that depraved nature is part of the punishment. It's not the sin itself. Now, what's the answer? God created us as an organism, right? He created Adam. And there's an organism there. And he is the father, the progenitor of all that come from him. We all come from him. But we are not guilty of having a sinful nature. That's part of the punishment. We're guilty of the sin of Adam. It's called original guilt. We're not guilty of the sinful nature. We're guilty of the sin of Adam, original guilt. We committed that sin. Before we were born, we committed that sin, along with Adam. How is that possible? We weren't there. Is that fair? Some say that's not fair. Because after all, Adam sinned, we become corrupt, we have a corrupt nature, we can't help ourselves. But the point is that who are we to speak against God? God created us. He created Adam and Eve as an organism. But he also created him as a representative head.
Read here. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even of them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
Adam is a type of Christ. Not a type in every sense, but a type in this sense, that Christ is a representative head of his people. Adam was a representative head of all of humanity, just as Christ is the representative head of all the saved people, all the elect. That's what Adam did. And so Adam becomes a sinner. We are created in Adam and in Eve as an organism, yes, but also legally. He is our representative head. When he sinned as our representative head, legally speaking, corporately speaking, being created in solidarity with Adam and Eve, we sin too. We are guilty of the same sin as Adam and Eve because we were legally represented in Adam and Eve. Now, one would say, but that's not fair, but that's the way God created us in the beginning. He created us as an organism that grows and expands, but he also created us and said that Adam will be your representative head for all humanity. He's going to represent. That's a legal representation. Now, why did he do that? And that's because of Christ. Christ is our representative head. That is, he's the representative head of all his people, all the elect, men and women, boys and girls, throughout the world, throughout all generations. Christ represents them. And so here's where it gets really neat. It's not neat that we are guilty, original guilt. We are guilty of the same sin because Adam represented us. Legally speaking, we are bound. There's solidarity there. Organically, yes, but also legally, corporately. That's bad. That's bad for us. But what's good for us is that Adam is a type, is a figure of him that is to come, and that is Christ. Now we know that Christ is the representative head of all his people. Well, what's that mean? Well, just as we are guilty, even before we are born, we are guilty of the very sin that Adam committed, original guilt. We are righteous. We are made righteous even before we are reborn, even before we are born again through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus' obedience, perfect obedience, is our perfect obedience because he represents us. We are all, corporately speaking, legally speaking, represented in Christ. If Christ obeys, then we're all obedient even before we're born again. That's the remarkable truth here that Paul is teaching. It's a little nuanced, it's a little subtle, but it's favorable. And so that's why we argue through justification, why it's so important to understand justification, that we are justified in Christ Jesus because he represented us. His obedience is our obedience. Even before I'm reborn, even before I'm born, it's my obedience. Just like I was before I was born in Adam, I sinned. I'm guilty. I'm going to die. Before I'm reborn, I'm justified. I'm justified because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, my representative. So how could my salvation be based on anything of my good works? You see how this just mitigates against the doctrine, against the teaching of good works. There's no way good works even enters into the picture till after I'm saved. I am found righteous before God because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, who represented me. In his life and in his death and in his resurrection. It's all, if you want to remember anything, it's all the glory goes to God. Yes, I am guilty, I'm a sinner, but I'm also a righteous man, not because of anything I've done, not because of my free will, not because I made a choice to be saved. I was righteous in Christ before I was even reborn. From the foundation of the world, I was, before I was even born, Christ, my representative, obeyed for me. And his righteousness is my righteousness, based on his representation of me at the cross. Praise God, from whom this wonderful and profound and glorious blessing occurs. That's free. You think about it. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to be anyone. I don't have to be magnificent in any man's eyes. I'm magnificent in God's eyes because of what Jesus did, not because of anything I did. It was before I was even born. I was made righteous by the blood of the Savior, by the obedience of the Savior, the passive and active obedience of Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, we are thankful. It's a little difficult to understand these things. We're not used to thinking this way. We're not used to musing upon the scripture in this fashion. It is a little philosophical, a little theological, we know. But it can be readily understood. Just as we have become guilty of the sin of Adam because he represented us, legally speaking, we are made righteous because of the obedience of Christ, because of the righteousness of Christ, not because of anything we've done. And we know that, because he represented us at the cross. He represented us, his elect people, all of us, past, present, and future, at the cross. And therefore, we're made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And to him goes the glory. And this needs to be the message that we spread, that it's not what I have done, it's not what I have willed, it's not by him that runs or him that wills, but it's by the mercy of God in Jesus Christ that I am saved, sanctified, and someday will be in heaven's glory. Praise be to God in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name alone. Amen. Let's in closing sing a final hymn, hymn 519. 519. And let's rise up to sing this hymn, 519.